38. Radar like lightning. Friday morning, Chris was on a computer at the Funston Library. First, he checked his fake Gmail, and there was a reply from the Oklahoma City Fitness Convention person saying, yes, other fitness operators from Idaho would be attending, but they weren't allowed to say who. Chris thought, for Christ's sakes, it's not like they're giving out classified information. So, though he had to admit, they sort of might be. There was an updated version of the DeMirco story in the Online Chronicle. Grigoriev Petrovikov, body ID'd at Ocean Beach, coached Bay Area Youth Sports, by Jay Swainstone. April 9, 2017, a body found floating in the surf below the Cliff House Wednesday night has been identified as a popular South Bay tennis instructor. Grigoriev Petrovikov of Santa Clara ran an afternoon junior tennis program at Stevenson Park in San Jose. He also reportedly gave martial arts instruction. Petrovikov was known to his tennis students as DeMirko Krakoivka, said, and authorities confirmed the individuals are the same. DeMirko was a terrific instructor and an all-around nice guy, said Anthony Chilton, who said Petrovikov coached both of his sons in the San Jose program. My oldest, Bruno, no way he'd be playing D1 right now if it weren't for DeMirko. Another parent, speaking on condition of anonymity, characterized Petrovikov as somewhat mysterious, but a dedicated coach who was tough but fair. Petrovikov reportedly emigrated to the U.S. from Eastern Europe in the late 1990s. His body was spotted in the water by diners at about 7:30 p.m. Wednesday. He was unclothed except for a pair of underwear briefs. According to SFPD, there were no obvious signs of trauma, but a coroner's report is pending. U.S. Park Police officers are also investigating how Petrovikov ended up in the water, according to Jason Livingsbean, a spokesman for the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. Whew, boy, it seemed benign enough so far. Meyerhofer, of course, was the wild card, but Chris couldn't see the guy stepping forward, unless he was missing something obvious, which could easily be the case in all these engagements. So at the end of the day, what was the point of overthinking any of it? He looked up Thad's Idaho Club and wrote down the phone number and changed $5 for quarters at the front desk, though he felt the librarian shooting daggers at him. The only dependable payphone he could think of was the outside one at the Golden Gate Park tennis courts again, so he drove there and called Thad. The receptionist said he was away from his desk and would be returning in 20 minutes. Chris wandered into the clubhouse, and the attractive Asian woman tennis pro was in her little shop area stringing a racket. Hello again, Chris said. I see you keep busy, on and off the court. You have to, she said. Fortunately, in spite of all the new racket technology, the frames still need to be strung by hand. People break a lot of strings, though? They shouldn't, she said, if they go heavy synthetic. But a lot of the players insist on using light gauge since it gives you a bit more feel. Some of them need a restring job every week. Does it make a difference in their game? Chris said. It doesn't, and I tell them that, but they go thin anyway. They watch the players on TV changing rackets all the time, and they think that's them. Well, good for business then, Chris said. You ever go out with your clients? She looked up from the machine with the relaxed manner, Chris was thinking, of someone who got hit on frequently and was comfortable dealing with it. She gave him a little smile. At times, normally it helps if they've taken a series of lessons. Chris said, well, I might be coming out of retirement and signing up for a few of those. You never know. She handed him her card, Jenna C. Lee, USPTA Level 1 Pro, and went back to her stringing. She said, "That other time you were curious about the discount lessons." "Nah, those don't make sense," he said. "Speaking of that," she said, "I had the police here yesterday. You might have seen someone drowned out at the beach. He taught here sometimes, one of the unofficial ones." "What did the police ask you?" Chris said. "It was pretty random. If I knew anything about him beyond tennis, if he had any unusual friends, students, and so forth, and did he seem mentally stable? A detective or uniform or what?" Chris said. "Yes, a detective and a uniformed officer." "What'd you tell them?" "I told them he was an asshole." Chris could have kissed her. "Oh, he was?" "Sorry if I'm sounding unsympathetic," she said, "but when you fool with someone's livelihood, that's unacceptable. Do you remember that song in the schoolyard, How Cheaters Never Prosper?" "Yeah," Chris said, "and I don't want to ask you, but you grew up in the city? Go to public school?" "Seattle, mostly. We moved here when I was 16. How about you?" "What I'm thinking is," Chris said, "those lessons, they may not happen for a while, but I'm good for them." Jenna said, "That's normally a bunch of BS, but something tells me you will be." Chris went back outside to the payphone and tried that again. This time, he picked up himself. Chris said, "Hey, Bill Crawford calling. We've come up with a potential energy saver for gyms. Love to show it to you in person. Will you be in Oklahoma City?" "What is it exactly?" Thad said. "A piece of software," Chris said. "Little hardware to it as well. It factors in everything 24/7. You'll see a reduction in your bills, guaranteed." "How much is it?" Thad said. $299. "What's the name of your outfit?" Thad said. "Light Gauge Strings. Love to talk to you more in Oklahoma." "I'm not doing that one anymore," Thad said. "Last year was a waste of time." "I see," Chris said. "I'll be in New York, though. You want to introduce yourself. You have a table?" "Yeah," Chris said. "You're talking about the upcoming New York or the later one?" "Upcoming," Thad said. "The Javits." "Good," Chris said. "Okay, that's the one. I'll keep an eye out for you." Thad hung up. Chris went back inside to Jenna Lee's pro shop. "Sorry to make you look up again," he said. "But can I borrow that computer for just a second?" Jenna handed him the laptop. "You're certainly demanding for someone who hasn't spent a dime." Chris said, "I'm testing you out." And he Googled fitness club trade shows again and found the New York Javits Center one suddenly on the radar like lightning, 2 weeks from this weekend. "Say, you wouldn't want to go to New York with me, would you?" Chris said. "In your dreams," Jenna said. 39. Up by Hurlbut. Chris was in the car bright and early Saturday driving to Sebastopol for the spring parade and festival. Around Sausalito, he called Joyce. "Jesus, nothing like a little notice," she said. He said, "What you can do is meet me, if you're up for it. I'll be standing near the post office. If you miss the parade, the thing overflows into the park down the street, is how I remember it from years ago." "I'm just curious," she said. "What's the big deal?" "I'm thinking of making a change, actually," he said. "Maybe buy something up there. Nothing gives you an honest feel for a place like an old-fashioned parade down Main Street." "Well, I'll do my best," Joyce said. There were detours off of Gravenstein Highway. In front of the parade route, and he had to park a mile away, but it was a perfect day for a walk. Royal blue sky, temperature in the high 70s, cute little houses overflowing with flowers in the front yards. Chris thought maybe he should move here at that. The parade kicked off with the local war veterans, followed by the high school band, all the student musicians wearing fedoras and sunglasses, which Chris thought looked ridiculous. Next was a chain of open convertibles, the dignitaries sitting up high with their feet on the back seats. The prick Smith was third. He and his wife, and they were waving and throwing candy that kids were scrambling to collect. On the side of the car, it said, "The Rotary Club thanks Jerry and Annette Smith." There was a heavy-set woman standing next to Chris with a 2013 Apple Blossom Festival t-shirt on. Chris said, "What did that guy do that they're thanking him for?" The woman said, "This is Jerry Smith. He helped save the pool when the finances were kaput. Defibrillators for the police, computers in the schools, all that." "He a nice guy then," Chris said, "as far as you know?" "Of course he is," a woman said. "You give your heart and soul to the community, how could you not be?" A man overhearing the conversation butted in. "Smith had a term on the city council," he said. "Pro-development helped push through the business park up by Hurlbut. They raised an apple orchard that had been there forever, and now we have asphalt and a bunch of buildings that are half empty." "How did he make his money?" Chris said. "Video games," the man said. "It was during the 90s when everyone was getting bought out there for a while. And he was a small piece of the puzzle for one of the big boys," Chris said. "You got it. His timing was fortunate," the man said. Chris found himself absorbed in the parade. There were musical combos on floats and little league teams and a dachshund club and horses performing and a hot rod club and several 4-H groups, including the Future Farmers of America. There were more elements of a rural small town than Chris would have expected, just 55 miles from San Francisco. Halfway through it, Joyce tapped him on the shoulder. "This is nice," she said. "We have our Jubilee coming up in Terra Linda, but this one's more intimate." "How's school?" Chris said. "It's good," Joyce said. "We've made some real headway on blocking the Donnie baseball dugout naming." Chris thinking, "Son of a bitch, can you just let it go?" There was an electric vehicle company in town, and their display was passing by. They had decked out funny cars, running on batteries, driving in circles, including two guys sitting on a couch that looked like it was floating. Next was a women's dance troupe called West County Samba, where everyone had on silver beaded bikinis that flashed as they danced to a lively horn and drum section that brought up the rear. "Get a load of this," Chris said. "I know," Joyce said. Some of the women had classically voluptuous bodies, others not so great. One or two might have actually been South American, but the rest were white and fleshy. They were putting considerable energy into it and seemed to be having fun, shaking themselves at the crowd. Chris said, "I'm seeing a combination of salsa and belly dancing here. Not bad, actually." Joyce grabbed his shoulder and whispered in his ear, "It makes me horny." Chris looked at her and shook his head, but he had to admit he was feeling it himself. The parade ended and they walked over to Ives Park, where the festival was getting started. There were games and bands and wine tasting and food, and around the perimeter there were canopied booths. One of them was for the Rotary Club, and Smith was sitting in back, gnawing on a barbecued turkey leg that Sebastopol was apparently known for. He was easy to spot. Big guy, about 6'3", thick red hair, freckles. To be 100% sure he had the right Jerry Smith, he would have to match the photo he got from the Piner High School yearbook with the original IJ article on the crash. But meanwhile, what could it hurt to say hello? Joyce was absorbed in a quilting demonstration a few booths away. Chris walked into the Rotary Club booth and said to Smith, "I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate what y'all are doing." Smith finished chewing, swallowed, and wiped his lips. "Thank you for that," he said. "We aim to please." "What's on tap?" Chris said. "Well," Smith said, "we'd like to resod the soccer field at Brookhaven and adjust the lighting angles if possible. Neighbors are complaining they shine in their living rooms." Chris said, "You can't win, can you? You do the right thing, there's always a wise guy has a problem with it." Ain't it so? I'm sorry, Chris said. What was your name again? Jerry Smith. Peter Mossman, Chris said, extending his hand. Smith's left eye twitched very slightly, but it was him. Smith switched his turkey leg into his left hand, wiped his right palm on a napkin, and shook hands with Chris, getting grease all over him. Anyhow, I'll let you go, Chris said. You guys have been appreciated for years in our family. I'm glad I finally said something. Enjoy the rest of your day. You too, Smith said. Chris found a bathroom and washed his hands thoroughly. He roamed around the rest of the festival and hooked back up with Joyce. He said, I appreciate the skill level, don't get me wrong, but if all the arts and crafts booths disappeared tomorrow, would we be any worse off? You mean as a society? Joyce said. Okay, yeah. That's a terrible thing to say, she said, and frankly, I'm surprised at you, Chris. How about if all the tall buildings in downtown San Francisco disappeared? That'd be fine. I've never understood it, what they could be needing to do in all those offices. The difference is, she said, the crafters are people expressing themselves. The buildings are corporations. Fine. I'm not saying get rid of any people. They still liking Bruce, by the way, far as you know, for the Donnie thing? I haven't had any communication with Bruce, she said, but I don't think so. It seems like a dead topic around town these days, except for the field part. They were back on Main Street in front of a taqueria that looked busy. I could eat, Chris said. I got stuck talking to some slob who was stuffing his face, and it made me hungry. Joyce said Mexican sounded great, but she wanted a real drink with it, which the taqueria didn't offer. So how about taking it out and going back to her place? Chris said, a couple Dos Equis doesn't do it for you? It's Saturday, she said. The new dude? Where's he fit in the picture exactly? He has his mom tonight. They have a routine. So, Chris said, you're telling me go in and get two super burritos and meet you at your house? Yes. Joyce had a small Victorian on Upbelt Street on the west side of Terra Linda. Not something you could afford today on a teacher's salary, but she picked it up at the right time. An old boyfriend, Lou, pretty nice guy actually, had renovated it for her. One of the touches that Lou came up with was a low built-in bureau in Joyce's bedroom closet. He had used redwood to match the moldings throughout the house and finished it off with several coats of high gloss lacquer. Right now, Joyce was sitting on the bureau facing Chris, whose pants were at his ankles and they were going to town. Joyce said, the atmosphere today, there was an intensity. Chris said, not at first so much, but I'm seeing your point. Joyce said, when I make love to someone else, you know what I think about, Chris? No. The time in your garage, against the car. Someone said, is that so? Chris froze and Joyce slid away from him and said, God damn it, Doug! What on earth are you doing here? Have you been screwing other people just lately or the whole time? Doug said. He asked it pleasantly enough, a guy about 30 with an earring, wearing a pullover sweater and a cowl hat. You know what? Joyce said. She'd put on a robe and had her hands on her hips, though she apparently didn't realize it was open down below. Anyone who puts his mother first, she said, has no say in what I do or don't choose to do. Do you understand that? Just a minute, Doug said. We've had an understanding all along, I thought. Well, you can take your understanding and shove it, Joyce said. Give me the key. When Doug had driven away, Joyce said, don't even go there, Chris. About the coast not being clear and all, he said. Yes, I'm really sorry. Forget that. The main thing, I'm glad he wasn't some psychopath about to pull a gun. No, no, he's a whole different animal than Bruce, if that's what you're concerned with. Anyhow, do you want to eat? I'm thinking not yet, Chris said. Joyce said, what I wanted to add to the garage part, it turns me on that we were keeping someone waiting upstairs. You've touched on that before, Chris said. Even so, Joyce said, we were rudely interrupted before I could complete my thought. 40. Second martini. He drove home Sunday morning and went for a run. Today he went the opposite way, through Fort Mason, along Bay Street to the Embarcadero, past the piers to the Bay Bridge, and down to AT&T Park at China Basin, where the Giants play baseball. It felt like 4 or 5 miles, and he turned around and started back. When he was growing up, you rarely went south of Market Street, but now the area was alive with condos and restaurants and vintage streetcars and specialty shops, and Chris didn't feel connected to any of it. He picked up some coffee and a Sunday New York Times and was showered and stretched out when the doorbell rang. He went downstairs and there was Brigida, fidgety, wanting to get inside. Chris sat her down at the kitchen table. You look beautiful, as always, he said, but you're redder in the face and sweating a little. I parked at Cala Foods and walked, Brigida said. Jesus, on Geary? Chris, I'm very worried. I haven't heard from Steve. And that man DeMurco who I told you about, who gave Steve lessons, he drowned. Did you know that? I did hear that, Chris said, and I'm sorry. I was at the courts and they were talking about it. Steve calls at least every other day, without fail, wherever he is. The last time I spoke with him was Wednesday, before he left for Denver. He hasn't been answering his cell, and this morning there's a recording that the service has been disconnected. Brigida was crying. Chris poured her a shot of vodka and helped himself to one, too. Okay, let's hold our horses and back up a minute. Why would you be worried about Steve because his tennis teacher got fished out of the ocean? Because they may have harmed him as well. Who is they? Chris said. I have no idea. But as I believe I told you, I would not trust this man. There was a dark side to him, and God help Steve if he didn't see that. Chris refilled them. So you're saying they may have been in on some shady dealings together, which went south. That's my fear, yes. Chris said, I have to tell you, that sounds like a stretch. Of course, you know Steve better than I do. Or, she said, you don't think Steve could have killed that guy, Chris said, or paid someone to do it? Is it possible, Chris? He took her hand. Well, nothing is certain except death, of course, and taxes. But my guess, you'll be hearing from Steve soon. I've never been this scared. That's why I walked here, in case someone were following me. Okay, your mind's starting to run away from you now. But here's the deal. My brother's in town, and I'm about to meet him for lunch. The neighborhood place. Can you join us? Brigida said, I'm afraid I'm without an appetite, but it is comforting to have someone share my concern. You'll like my brother, Chris said, hoping Floyd wouldn't be bringing anyone else. Floyd had grabbed the table at Weatherby's and Chris made the introductions. Sunday brunch was going on and there were strollers here and there and the babies in diapers. Chris said, it's like clockwork. When the kids are old enough to run around and cause trouble, boom, they move to Greenbrae or Orinda and kiss the city goodbye. So you have your finger on the pulse, do you? Brigida said. She was in the middle of a martini and had calmed down and was smiling for the first time. I'm glad you're getting to meet my kid brother, Chris said. He's got relationship issues too. Yeah, I should have stayed in Arizona, Floyd said. Chris said to Brigida, Floyd has these two women following him around. I was afraid they might show up today, actually. I worry they're choking the life out of him. Floyd didn't say anything. Well, you're certainly a handsome young man, Brigida said. I can understand it. She downed her martini and Chris called for refills. He had to admit Floyd did look good, all tan and fit. Chris said, Brigitte's been under some stress. We'll leave it there unless she wants to talk about it. My husband is AWOL since Wednesday, she said to Floyd. My worst nightmare is he's on the run from the authorities. You're joking, Floyd said. When Brigitte presented the scenario to me, it sounded off the deep end, Chris said. As I'm digesting it, though, maybe she is onto something, unfortunately. Where is he supposed to be? Floyd said. In the Denver area, she said. Ah, they have periodic satellite issues out there, if that's part of it, Floyd said. I've had that problem a few times. See, Chris said, there's usually an explanation. He lowered his voice. And couldn't the Croatian have simply drowned on his own? Nothing to do with Steve? Jesus, criminy, Floyd said. Well, I suppose he could have, Brigitte said. She polished off her second martini and excused herself. Floyd said, lot more action in San Francisco than Phoenix, if I'm hearing things right. Chris said, can you do me a favor? Are you parked outside? Around the corner. Yeah, though some guy almost wanted to fight me because I beat him to the spot. It's gotten bad, Chris said. But listen, can you drive her home? She was wobbling a little when she got up. I'll be here. She on the right track, Floyd said, about her husband? Wouldn't surprise me, Chris said. Guy's bad news. Floyd said, have you been betting her down long term, or is that recent activity? Recent activity, Chris said. Brigitte was back, and Chris said, Floyd's going to take you home. Already? I think it's the right thing, Chris said. We have any more cocktails, you might regret it later. Take a hot bath, get a good night's sleep, and you'll have a fresh outlook tomorrow. Fine then, you're dismissing me, but Chris, I do so appreciate your help. She kissed him on the cheek. The pleasure's mine, he said. When Floyd and Brigitte were gone, Chris moved to the bar. Hey, my number one partner, Sheb said. That a family member by chance? I was seeing a resemblance. Except for a younger, better-looking version, Chris said, who could be in an action movie or something. Kind of what I was thinking, Sheb said. They gonna hook up? Probably. Chris said, she needs it bad. He might benefit as well. That's a fine woman for sure, Shep said. You can feel the class resonating off of her. Speaking softer, unlike most of the other breeds that wander in here. I have to go to New York, unfortunately, Chris said. Uh-oh. I'm thinking if I live, I'm going to get out of this business. Right now, I got two deals staring me in the face, needing someone to close them. You gonna drive it? Shep said. I hate to, but I have to bring some stuff. You feel like taking a ride? No. But any more information on whether you're going to make it? Well, I ran what you said by a medical person. She stopped short of saying whoever suggested that is an idiot. You work out today? Shep said. Yep, AT&T Park and back. Someone else did my tongue test and feet. Quite unscientific, but according to them, my organs are A-OK at the moment. Is that Feng Shui? No, I think Feng Shui is the furniture alignment harmony thing. I was watching House Hunters the other night, and this couple finds the perfect house, except then the wife pulls out a compass and said it was built in the wrong direction. But some kind of Chinese medicine, no? Shep said. I wouldn't discount that shit. It's been around a little longer than your medical person who says we're idiots. Chris's phone rang. He answered it and said, yeah, don't worry about it. How about tomorrow night? I'll cook something. Okay. See you then. My brother, Chris said to Shep, he sends his apologies that he can't make it back here today to finish up the brunch. A man of good taste, Shep said, right? Most definitely, Chris said. 41. Pathological one. Monday morning, Chris was outside doing a calf stretch against the front of the building, about to go for his run, when a black Ford with extra antennas drove up and parked across the street. Chris assumed SFPD and felt everything go ice cold. But for better or worse, Detective Cousins got out. "Your name came up again," Cousins said, not shaking hands. Chris said, "It did? How well do you know Joyce McCann?" "I'm pretty sure I told you. Joyce is not capable of anything like that." "Wasn't my question." "Well, like I said," Chris said, "she's a good friend. We get together on and off." "You talk about various topics when you're banging her?" Okay, Chris said. "Well, yeah, the usual stuff that comes out spur of the moment, I guess." "What did you say about Donald Shellhorn when you were wedged into her closet Saturday?" "I don't remember saying anything about that kid." "How about her? What'd she say about him?" "Nothing," Chris said. "The only time his name came up was earlier in the day." "Where?" "Sebastopol." "Fuck you doing up there?" "I like it there. They had a festival." "Shellhorn came up how?" "They want to name the high school baseball dugout after him. Joyce is trying to stop that from happening. She said they're making progress."
"And you said what?"
Cousins said.
"I told her to let it go, even though I agree it's wrong."
Cousins took off his sunglasses and started flipping through a notebook. "This goddamn case," he said.
"Yeah?" Chris said. "Your friend McCann, she's got to pick not one, but two pricks."
"Oh,
I don't mean you, necessarily. Gilbright, the one that slugged you, and this Doug piece of horse shit. We're spending 100 hours trying to clear the two of them."
"Wait a second," Chris said. "Doug just came in the picture recently, I thought."
"No, she was doing them both at the same time. In theory, either of them could have whacked the kid, and neither one's got a great alibi. What do you think of this Doug?"
"He seemed level-headed enough," Chris said, "considering the circumstances I met him in."
"Yeah, well, you're contrasting him with the first a-hole. Did you know the guy lives with his mother?"
"Joyce said that."
"The reason I'm here," Cousins said, "he called in yesterday and said someone Joyce referred to as Chris was talking about Shellhorn like he knew something."
"Well, I wasn't," Chris said, "and I don't."
"In fairness," Cousins said, "we've already established he's a lying piece of shit. Whether he's a homicidal liar or just a mama's boy pathological one, that's the problem."
"I see.
What are you doing? Exercising?" Cousins said.
"Most mornings, yeah."
"That help the plumbing and everything?"
"I haven't thought of it that way, but it probably doesn't hurt."
"Seely, let me ask you something. If someone came to you cold and asked what happened to Donald Shellhorn, what would you say?"
Chris said, "Wow.
Well, I tell him my best guess is someone who despised Donnie, couldn't take it anymore, and might have gone off the deep end. Be hard to go too far away from that."
Cousin said, "That's how we've been working it to this point. Now one of my partners is floating a theory it could have been random because it was a similar attack in Lake County. You think?"
"I don't know," Chris said. "Common sense would say it wasn't random. Other than maybe a random person who didn't like Donnie."
"One other one," Cousins said. "A kid played ball with Shellhorn down in San Diego. Mexican-American kid. Shellhorn was a pitcher. This kid was one of the catchers until he dropped out of school. They found him 6 months ago in Ensenada, the victim of an execution."
"Jesus," Chris said. "So could Donnie have been in the drug trade?"
"I'm not seeing it. Liquor, yeah.
cocksucker. Cousins said, okay, well, I thank you for your time there, pal. How's your father? Chris said. The fuck you have to bring that up for? Not good. I'm going over there now since I'm down here. It doesn't help that my lieutenant's kicking my ass every day on Shellhorn. I apologize, Chris said. Nah, it ain't your fault. Soon as I can, I'm going to take early retirement. And I'm out of this racket. Chris watched Detective Cousins drive off. The last thing he felt like doing now was running, but he decided he better go through with it in case Cousins circled back to check on him. He ran up and down the Divisadero Hills from Lombard to Broadway 3 times, a hard workout but a quicker than normal one. There was no sign of Cousins, and from Broadway, Chris had the expansive view of the bay and Marin and points north, all fresh air and freedom and possibilities. A higher-up version of the view, he was thinking, that Alcatraz inmates had years ago when the place was operating. He went home, had a couple shots of that vodka that he'd brought out for Brigida, and went on the Food Network website looking for recipes. He was mad at himself that he invited Floyd for dinner. After all, it was set up fine yesterday, only Floyd had to throw a monkey wrench in there at the end. But what could you do now? One food show Chris liked was the perky little woman with the Italian name who showed downward cleavage as she cooked, but her recipes were a little too perfect. There was a heavier set woman out in the Hamptons with a nice delivery and practical style, but he was thinking baby back ribs tonight, and he settled on a recipe from one of the southern cooking shows where the atmosphere was more fun-loving and casual. He picked up 3 racks of ribs to be on the safe side, thinking you normally got short change when you ordered them in restaurants. He had a big wedding soup he liked to make, so he started that also. A thick kitchen sink concoction heavy with cumin that didn't go with the ribs but would keep him busy all afternoon and distract him a tiny bit from Cousins closing in. Could he have actually blurted out something about Donnie in the heat of the moment in that closet? Fuck. Floyd showed up on time at 6 and said the place was cozy the way he remembered it. What you mean, Chris said, is you wouldn't want to live here. I like having a house, Floyd said. On the other hand, you step out the door and everything's happening. I got zip. Brigida gets squared away, Chris said. Floyd said, indeed. An extremely refined woman. She said you were responsible for liberating her. I was picturing her cheerfully writing letters home to Denmark while my tennis partner was doing other things, Chris said. You going to visit her again, or is that it? Visit her again, Floyd said. I know what you mean, Chris said. Allison's a sweet girl, but I can see how she'd lay a lot on you. They're coming, by the way, Floyd said. That was my fear. I bought extra. Floyd said, so what else is cooking, so to speak? Well, I'm supposed to go to New York this week. Other than that, it's been pretty uneventful. Hey, you can stay here if you want. Yeah? Geez, I might take you up on that, actually. The doorbell rang and Allison and Monica stormed in, asking what smelled good and announcing they were hungry. Chris said, you have to show some restraint. I got it timed. Monica brought a bottle of wine and she poured everyone a glass and said, ever since Floyd's, I was hoping we could have a reunion. This is great. Allison raised her glass and said, Mon, I agree. I thought we were just getting started there. Then the vacation got cut short. Unresolved is how it felt. Chris said, well, Floyd was just saying the same thing. What part was that? Floyd said. The doorbell rang again. It took Chris a moment to react. Henry too, he said, his voice thin, praying it might be. Nope, Monica said, he doesn't even know where you live. Chris said in that case, excuse him, and he went downstairs fearing the worst. It was Kim. She said, why didn't you tell me? Her makeup was smeared and her eyes were red. Chris didn't say anything, pretty sure he knew. She threw her arms around him, burrowing her face into his neck. You're a complete asshole, you know that? What? Chris, I want to be there for you, except you backed off and I had to find out through the fucking rear door. He said, let's go in your car and not scare the neighbors. It's way over on Scotch, he said. You can't park around here at all. That's fine, he said. By the time we're there, you'll see you overreacted. When they got to the car, Chris said, you know what? Forget that. Another block and a half, we can get a drink. I guess that's not the worst suggestion, Kim said. They sat at the bar at Weatherby's, and Chris introduced Kim to Shep. Pleased to meet you, Shep said. This guy's my favorite customer. Kim said, does he have any competition? Not that much, Shep said. When Shep brought their second round, Chris said, Kim thinks something bad's going to happen to me. Shep stared at Chris, and Chris nodded. That medical person I was telling you about, Chris said, she said something to Kim. Very unethical, not to mention none of her business. Not to mention maybe wrong, Shep said. Kim said, so you've known the whole time, Shep, or what? Here's the thing, Chris said. I'm driving cross country. Shep can't make it, but why don't you come? Chris, why do you change the subject? How about because it needs to be changed? Shep said, here, try these mini pork buns, why don't you? They're on the house. Outside on Chestnut Street, Chris said, my brother's visiting from the Southwest. Would you want to say hi? That would be fine, she said. Just one caveat, he said. We got your friend Bethany, we got Shep, and now we've got you as essentially the only humans aware of this rumor. That's it. Okay? Not even your own brother, she said. No, but you'll see Floyd's a nice kid. When they walked in, Allison and Monica and Floyd were playing Scrabble at the kitchen table. There were plates and soup bowls and a couple of wine bottles in the living room, and hard rock music was blasting. Jesus, someone's going to complain, Chris said. Or they might not, Monica said. Hey, I recognize you from Allison's gig, she said to Kim. You're cute. She is, Allison said. This is Floyd. Keep your hands off him. That's a bad joke, Monica said, and rude. She didn't mean it that way. Floyd stood up and said hello to Kim. Chris said, I hate to bring up high school, but do you remember Leslie Stemple, who was over at our house a lot for a while there? Kim's her sister. No, Floyd said. Kim said, well, it certainly is a blessing that you can spend some quality time together. Where are you staying while you're in the Bay Area? Actually, Floyd said, Chrissy is going out of town. I thought I might hole up here for a while. Allison said, yeah? Thanks a lot. Chris said, it would be that devastating? Well, if that's how both you jerks see it, Allison said, you can start on that extended stay right now. Monica, let's go. Monica looked at Floyd and shrugged, and 30 seconds later, they were gone. There are any of those ribs left at all, Chris said. I'm ravenous. Not sure, Floyd said. Try the oven. They ate like cannibals. Kim said, that was some scene there. Geez, a little cold soup, nothing else, just bones, Chris said. Nah, that was no big deal. Seemed like a breakup to me, Kim said. You're perfectly welcome to crash here tonight, Chris said to Floyd. That what you were thinking? Thanks, but I may have a situation that'll work. He went in the bedroom and made a call. Yeah, we're cool, he said. Listen, I appreciate the hospitality and gourmet meal, and it was nice to meet you, Kim. Chris handed Floyd an extra set of keys and walked him out, this time embracing him on the sidewalk, because you never knew. Where do you think he's going to go? Kim said. Why? Chris said. You like him now, too? No, I'm just curious, she said. You're starting to blush, Chris said. But my brother can have that effect on people. Pretty sure he's visiting a married woman tonight. Gosh, really? Has he ever been married or anything? I don't think so, though I can't rule it out entirely. We have long stretches with no contact. And you're not honest with each other on top of it, she said. The New York travel thing, he said. Wednesday morning I'm shooting for. Kim said, Chris, I don't think so. Why? If I die or something en route, then you just fly back. Now, why would you joke around like that? Probably what it is, I got enough worries day to day. There's no point looking too far ahead. Would you want to stay over? Gee, does that mean you're past the issue with my sister? Rearview mirror, Chris said. 42. With graffiti. Chris slept the best he had in a while. He tiptoed out of the apartment and picked up French pastries, and Kim had cleaned up the kitchen from head to toe and was waiting for him with fresh coffee when he got back. You got time, he said. I do, she said. I don't start work until 2, but I'm going to leave soon so you can get organized. That's not complicated, Chris said. One thing I did want to do is see my friend Ray, in case I really don't make it back. Chris, now you're being morbid. It's simply not funny. Be interesting to be a fly on the wall in this place next couple of weeks, though, Chris said. Why? What do you think will happen? Not sure, but my guess is female population will be involved, and there could be some confrontations as well. Do you think so? Why don't you stop by and find out? Text me the developments, he said. Very funny. Chris, you're strong enough to do all that driving? No sign of decay yet. Piece of cake is the way I see it. Well, last night was really nice. Thank you. It was. What you're saying, though, if it doesn't work out as well in a few weeks when I get back, or specifically I don't work out as well, at least it was last night. That is the furthest thing from what I was saying, Kim said, and her eyes got teary and she looked away. Come here, Chris said. I'm sorry I'm jumpy. You had bad dreams, Chris. I patted you down a few times. That's part of why I'm concerned. Shit. Was I saying anything? I couldn't make out much, but you were struggling. Geez, I thought I slept great. In any case, see you soon. Please leave your phone on, she said. Chris spent a few hours getting set, had the oil changed, and swung by Ray's at dinner time. The security guard phoned Ray and told Chris to go on up, the first time that happened, since Ray always came down. The place had 5 stories, and you entered the apartments from outside like a motel. There was a tasteful courtyard in the center with white rocks and a metal sculpture, though there were a couple spots on the sculpture that had been hit with graffiti and painted over. Seeley, you ain't catching me in my best moment, Ray said. He was in his pajamas and slippers and hadn't shaved in a while. You okay? Chris said. Running a fever is all. The shit fucks with you. Your treatment, you mean? That, the meds, the 9 yards, I'll handle it. Sit down if you want. Chris sat on a folding chair. Your place is neater than mine, he said. You've got the minimalist touch going on. I ain't striving for any particular flavor, to be honest, Ray said. Today's your day off, though, right, Chris said. You going in tomorrow? Yeah, you worrying about me, which you better stop doing. I don't miss any of them. That's worse. Ray, I'm going out of town for a little while. How long then? Ray said. Few weeks. Call me if you need something, okay? Fine, but how you gonna deal with it long distance? I don't know. And the cops were talking to me yesterday. It's weighing on me. You didn't do nothing, right? So what do they want? I might have done something. And then I might have blurted out something about it, which someone heard and reported. Well, I'll be damned, Ray said. Seeley, you continuing with the surprises. Someone hearing and reporting what, exactly? Cop didn't say. He also implied they were looking at the guy who reported it, that they established he's a pathological liar. What else they ask you? Ran a couple scenarios by me, wanted to know how plausible I thought they were. They got an original reason to be liking you, Ray said, before they claim you yelling out? It would be a stretch. And if they're going that direction, two guys are on the map ahead of me. What you telling me, Ray said, in your pussy-ass way, they don't got jack shit. They shut out. You the only one not seeing it. I am? How long has it been since you might have did this deed? About 2 months. This guy talking to me, he's playing it straight. I'm worried he's slicker than that. Come on, man, after 2 months he ain't. Only reason they're talking to you and plenty of other people, they praying someone volunteer something. It SFPD? Nah, suburbs, actually. White suburbs? Yeah. In that case, they even more ice cold. So when I'm away, Chris said, if someone rings my bell and I'm not there, that mean anything? Only that you're going about your business, which you're supposed to be. Well, I appreciate it. Chris said, I talked to Brigida. She thinks her husband disappeared on her. Good. Chris got up. All right then, can I do anything for you? The store? Whatever? No. You're doing something for me already. Showing your ugly face here. I don't mind admitting it. Chris reached over and squeezed Ray's shoulder. You take care, he said. 43. Any episode. He couldn't see stopping for the night in Winnemucca again, so he pushed it all the way to West Wendover. It was the last town going east in Nevada, and they made sure to build it right against the Utah border, so the Salt Lake City gambling crowd didn't have to drive one extra foot. He walked around a little after dinner, and there wasn't much life to the place when he got a block or two away from the casinos. In the morning, he looked at his road atlas and sized up his day. It was a straight shot 147 miles to Salt Lake, and then another 7 hours to Cheyenne, Wyoming. From there, if he kept to his business, it was 3 days to the George Washington Bridge. He was a half hour into the drive, the Great Salt Lake on his left, when Ray got in his head. Specifically the part about the white suburb cops maybe not being that great at solving homicides. Twisting it the other way, New York City cops would be pretty damn good at it. You picked any episode of Law and Order, not the Baltimore ones, but the original ones set in Manhattan. And these guys were street smart and relentless and usually got their man. Something else he hadn't thought of. After 9/11, there might be cameras all over the city now, too. Chris got off at the next exit and had a second breakfast at a truck stop called the Boss Griddle and thought it through. This was what, Thursday? The percentages said Thad should be around. He wouldn't have to leave for New York for a week, unless he was combining it with another trade show beforehand, which didn't seem likely based on that phone conversation they'd had. Salt Lake City to Pocatello was a couple hours up the interstate the wrong way, but Chris decided it wouldn't kill him to at least take a chance. He opened the trunk and wrapped the gun in a rag and casually put it in the glove compartment. He looped north at the 80-15 interchange, and it was 10 after 2 when he got off at the East Center Street exit in Pocatello. He found Yellowstone again, turned into Broadway Fit, and there was Thad's black Highlander in the same spot in back. He could see the car once you were in the parking lot, but people driving by on Yellowstone couldn't see it because the building blocked it out. Something Chris wished he deduced the last time. But here he was, and it was on. if he could work it. He took his time cruising the residential side streets that were adjacent to Yellowstone Avenue, trying to figure out an inconspicuous escape route that wouldn't feature too many stoplights. He settled on making the quick right onto Pine, another right on Pershing, a left on Maple, and a left on Randolph, which took you past Alameda Park and to the service road for I-15. He drove it twice, timed it the second time, and he was on the freeway traveling south in just under 6 minutes. It was around 4 now, and when he'd scouted Thad before, both times he left his gym at 4:45 and drove to the Bannock Swim and Racquet Club. There was a hardware across from Yellowstone called from Broadway Fit, and Chris parked there and called Kim. "You busy?" he said. "Sort of. I'm at work," she said, "but that doesn't matter. Chris, I'm missing you." "Well, I can turn around and pick you up." "I should have come with you. I mean it. How has your drive been?" "Kind of refreshing so far. In my next life, I may decide to be a long-distance trucker. Except I think they eat bad, ultimately." "Bethany was here last night," Kim said. "Yeah, well, what can you do?" Chris said. "You're right," Kim said. "That was improper of her." "The thing you're talking about," Chris said, "she's stretching way out of proportion. I were you, I wouldn't believe anything she says from here on out." "I'm not going to," Kim said. "How soon do you think you'll be back?" "Well, I may be able to speed things up a bit, depending. The New York part isn't that important, it turns out. But I'm thinking I should say hi to my sister in Boston." "I didn't even know you had a sister. My God, of course you should." "Well, I'll let you go," he said. "Chris, what you were saying just then about Bethany exaggerating your situation? "That's what I was trying to tell you the other night," he said, "except there was too darn much chaos." "Well, you made my day by calling," she said. "Mine too." Chris opened his passenger window all the way, and he took the checkpoint out of the glove compartment. At 4:40, he drove into the space to the left of the Highlander and kept the engine running. He had a Reno Gazette sports page that he'd been carrying around, and he spread it open against the steering wheel. A couple minutes went by, and then he heard a beep, and it was Thad coming around the back of the gym, opening his car door from 20 feet away. Chris scanned the parking lot. If there was any sign of life, obviously he'd wasted the trip. But he didn't see anybody, and he let Thad get in and close the door. Then he reached across the passenger seat as far as he could and shot him in the face. Right away he was worried that he might not have finished him off with just the one shot, especially since it had to go through Thad's side window, which could have deflected or altered something. But that was all he could risk, and he pulled medium speed out of the Broadway Fit parking lot and picked up his escape route, careful to stay with the flow of traffic, and was soon back on I-15. This time he'd started hyperventilating right from the moment Thad beeped open his door, and that didn't stop until he had downed a couple of cheeseburgers and an order of animal fries and an In-N-Out in Salt Lake City. And then he felt a lot better, the blood sugar back under control. It was after 8, and it didn't seem necessary to go any further tonight. There were kids at In-N-Out wearing University of Utah hats and t-shirts, so Chris assumed the campus was close by, and maybe he'd have a look at it in the morning. He found a motel, pricier than you would have thought out here, but it had a nice outdoor jacuzzi, and he put his head back and let the jets massage the soles of his feet the way Allison had done it that night.